This is a podcast from the BBC.
Here is Thursday Scott Mills Daily Podcast. On today's show, James the private investigator with more spy tales, and he brings a colleague with him, a female operative called Jane, the PI, with a story of a charity ball that really wasn't. Also, we tell you about the farming version of Love Island, and Alice Levine meets her biggest fan. Good afternoon, this is Scott Mills. Just me today. Chris is filming something for BBC iPlayer in Glasgow. But, and I don't know whether you heard Grimmy say this morning, I think he may have had a night out last night. Classic Chris, this is, because you may have heard Grimmy saying about this. He texted Grimmy last night going, "Mate, Liverpool are in the Champions League final. We need to watch this at biggest weekend." Now, I can't work out why. Out of anyone, he texted Grimmy, because, like me, Grimmy's not really into football. Maybe he thinks that, like, Grimmy's got some clout, so, I don't know, like, they were saying this morning, get it on the big screen at biggest weekend or something. Why text Grimmy? Also, he texted last night producer Mark and two other people from Radio 1. I didn't get anything, like, not one. So what's that about? Anyway, we'll speak to him at 2:40 on Bangers. And James, the private investigator, which we recorded earlier in the week with Chris, and a female operative coming up at 1:40. More spy tales.
Scott Mills.
Hi, Chloe, who is all stressed out, revising at the moment in Bristol this afternoon. Sun's out, but she's just aware that the deadline is looming. Let me know if you are revising today. Something that I've just seen, actually, which I think a lot of universities could use here. I was reading about it the other day. At the University of Utah in America, if you're really stressed out with your exams, they've now installed a cry closet in the library at the campus, which I think is, I don't know whether it's a good idea or not. So it is called a cry closet. You can go in there for some quiet time. Only one person allowed in there. In fact, they put like a hashtag on it. So if you go to the hashtag #CryClosedForYou, you can see like all the responses. But there's a sign on the front of it. It's just like a little room. It says, "A safe place for stressed out students, otherwise known as the cry closet. This space is meant to provide a place for students studying for finals to take a short 10-minute break. Rules of the closet. 1. Knock before entering. 2. Only one person in the closet at a time. 3. Limit your time in the closet to no more than 10 minutes. 4. Turn lights and timer off before leaving. 5. Use this hashtag if posting on social media." You just know, though, because students, there will be one person, probably a boy, that won't be using it for crying.
Scott Mills.
Kerry in Worcester says, "I'm not revising anymore. I've just handed in my dissertation, but could have done with the cry closet at the time. Now having a well-earned chill. To all the people still revising, it will be worth it and things do get better." Also, Chelsea's been on, says, "Revising in the library at Liverpool for my third year exams. Help!" Jordan and Catterick, also very keen on the crying closet idea. I bet you are. Blossoms, "I Can't Stand It" coming up, and also Route 94, "My Love." For many, it's their favourite part of the week on this show. James, the private investigator, is on at 1:40 with real-life spy stories, things that actually happen to him every single day in his line of work. Last week, James was telling us about a lady who hired him to spy on a husband, on her husband, as she thought he was cheating, but on his diet. And it turns out he was. He would leave the house with his chicken salad and water, go around the corner, triple whopper, zinger to tower, wings, etc. James is bringing his female colleague in today. We recorded this earlier in the week with Chris. It's coming up.
Scott Mills.
Obviously, some people listen again to this show or they get the podcast. That'll be Laura. So she'll hear this later. She says, "The worst thing has happened," which is a dramatic title for an email. She says, "Hi, Scott. Hi, Chris. So the title is a bit dramatic, but for the first time in 14 weeks since I've been travelling, I've finally caught up on the Scott Mills Daily Podcast. I don't know what to do with myself anymore when I'm out and about on my own, and I can't sleep at night. It's so bad that I listen to Tuesday's podcast twice in a row while walking around Sydney earlier or around the harbour." Oh, hon, you've got it bad. Hello anyway, Laura. You can go back this podcast from ages ago. You'll find them.
Scott Mills.
This is Scott Mills. It's Thursday. It's Spy Day. Hello, James, the PI.
Hi, guys.
Hi, really? And I'm very excited that you have brought, as you promised, a female operative with you today.
I have, I've brought a plus one.
Now, the lady sat next to you helps you out on a lot of jobs, right?
She does. She comes on a lot of undercover jobs with me. But, yeah, this is, what are we going to call you? What did you decide we were going to call you?
Well, there were a few suggestions. Spyface was my favourite, but I don't think we're going to go with that.
What about, obviously we can't reveal your actual identity, so how about, if we've got a James already, how about Jane? PI.
Yeah, Jane the PI.
James and Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Is this your real voice?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I expected you to sound exactly like an Amazon Echo or something.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like slightly fembotty.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
So, what have you both got for me this week?
So we went through some of the jobs that we worked on together, and we've got a bit of a cracking one for you.
Okay.
We were following a male target. So the client on this one was the wife who had employed us to follow the husband, but he had told her he was going to a works charity event, which was in the form of a masquerade ball.
Oh, okay. A lot of masquerade balls are perfectly normal.
Well, they're not normal.
They are.
There's nothing normal about a masquerade ball. You're turning up and you're wearing those sort of sexy masks. You know the ones.
I went to one that Liam Payne had once, and there was none of that going on.
No, but there's an inference from the start that it's sort of revolving around. Definitely. Definitely. It's like if you... Any other theme sort of sets the tone for the party. If you go to a masquerade party, it is largely to do with sort of sexy time.
Jane, would you agree?
Most of the time, yeah.
Have you always been a private investigator?
No, I haven't, no.
What did you do before?
I was a bailiff.
Oh,
you!
Yeah, she would go and kick butts at people's like evictions and all sorts that you see on telly. That was you. So,
and then did you choose to be a private investigator, or did someone come to you and say, "Look, you should do this job. You'd be awesome at this."
Yeah, I kind of poached you, didn't I?
Yeah, James taught me everything that I know, and yeah.
But how did James find you? Was he investigating you for something, or like, did you just meet at a Christmas party, or what?
No, we met through mutual friends.
Do you know Paul Bohill off of Can't Pay, Will Take It Away?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Legend.
I was hoping for an introduction.
Is he your idol?
I love him.
He's the best.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to get £1,000 off you now, or I'm afraid we're going to have to take your dishwasher.
No, but he's lovely about it. That's the thing with Bohill.
He is nice.
He's actually a very decent man about it.
Anyway, so a wife has employed you to basically spy on her husband at this masquerade ball he's going to for charity.
That's right. So we got all glammed up, didn't we? Ball gowns and tuxedos.
Yep.
Went to this event. We didn't have tickets. Now, this is the crucial thing. The client couldn't get us tickets to it because it was his work's due. So we explained to her, look, there's no guarantee we'll get in. We're going to have to try and blag it on the door.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we did, Scott.
But how?
Literally just blagging and flirting your way through the whole thing.
Right, here we go. So talk to me about that. So when you've got to flirt your way into an event, what are the techniques used?
Eye contact is very important.
Mm.
And just complimenting him in any way possible.
And you have to do this a lot, do you?
Yes.
Okay, can we do some role play?
Yeah.
Chris,
great. You are a doorman with attitude.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, all right. I've experienced these.
All right.
Yeah, we all have. Okay, so, right, let's put some background chatter in. Pretend that you're trying to get into the event.
Yeah.
Okay, Jane? All right, here we go.
Good luck, Jane.
Here we go. Right.
Hello, good evening.
Oh, hello, sir.
Is your name on the list?
It's not.
You're not coming in.
Oh, you can let me in, can't you?
So are you part of the party that's inside here?
I am. Do you want to join me?
Oh. I do see what the... You're winning me over.
It is a bit flirty, isn't it?
You're not on the list, though. Where's your invite?
I'm sure we can make some kind of deal, can't we?
Oh, this is great!
We managed to get in the end, which was the main thing. And we just mingled. But we weren't there for long, were we, before we realised it was not your typical masquerade ball?
No.
And we'll hear more about that next.
Scott Mills.
James the PI is here, and today he's brought his colleague Jane the PI, not her real name, but it is for the purposes of this. They've been sent to a masquerade ball by a wife whose husband has told her that it's a charity event. She's not convinced. So, you two have blagged your way into this ball.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your tux on, you've got your ball gown on.
So you're pretending to be in a couple,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you had to kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah, several times.
Yeah.
wow, it's like acting. It's like when they have to kiss in EastEnders. It's purely for the job. Yeah. But they are still kissing. I always think that.
What level of kiss, though, was it?
It's BBC kissing, I imagine it would be described as. There's no tongue involved. It looks
fake. I know what you mean.
There's no pleasure for either of you in that situation.
No, purely work.
And is James a good kisser?
Yes.
And Jane?
Amazing, yeah.
Right, good. All right, so you're in the ball. What's happening?
We're in the ball. We're pretending to be a couple, but the atmosphere isn't exactly what we thought it would be. Not many people are in couples. Well, they might be, but they're not in the sort of couples I imagine they arrived in.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of parties.
Okay.
Keys in the bowl, basically.
Yeah,
is that how it's known?
Very quickly start to mingle, don't they?
But it was a high-class place, wasn't it? There was waiters and canapes and drinks and everything, so it was a nice venue. But then, back to the whole reason we were there, the following the male target, we lost him a few times because everyone looked the same.
All wearing masks.
In tuxedos, black tie. So we lost him a couple of times.
Did you not recognise him by sort of just his nakedness?
Well,
was
we did.
The distinctive features, Jane?
A lot of people were going in and out of different rooms, so it was quite easy to lose people.
And what was going on in the different rooms?
Well, you can't say that, can you? I think we all know what was going on.
Pushing this.
I can't quite elaborate that.
Twister.
So we did at one point decide to split up as well. When we sort of lost each other a bit.
It was less of a decision, and it just happened. I turned round and you were gone.
And where did you go, Jane?
I was mingling.
To be fair, I think it was.
Have you
ever
been to one of these parties, Scott?
Why would I have been to one of these parties?
Because you hear of these sort of celebrity-only ones, don't you?
Were there any celebrities at this one?
I knew you was going to ask me that question.
There was a few famous faces.
Were there?
Yeah.
Well,
faces. We use the term faces loosely because of the masks.
People that you recognise off telly.
Yeah.
Ah!
So, Jane, what was the game plan when you were in there at this party?
Yeah, there wasn't really a game plan as such, was there? We just went in and we're just going to go with the flow and see what happened. Obviously, tried to get any evidence that we could of him cheating. Mm-hmm. And I think we got what we needed, didn't we?
So what did you get?
Well, we definitely got some evidence that he was up to no good.
Right. Pictures?
We did get a couple of pictures.
How, though? Because you're obviously you're undercover.
Yeah, we had to give our phones in as well. We weren't allowed our phones in there. When we came in, they took everyone's phones away and we got searched, so we had no phones on us, and we weren't aware that we were going to get searched either. So, luckily,
where'd you hide the camera?
We had a hidden button camera, and luckily they didn't find that.
Ball gown cam. Did you have to get up close to take the photos?
No.
Because no Zoom.
We sort of got it from the doorway, didn't we?
You can't go in without getting involved in this sort of
course.
Things. Like, it's not kind of just browsing, just window shopping.
Just looking.
Just having a look. But we had to observe and report and tell the client what was going on. She really couldn't believe it herself.
Right.
Neither could we. We didn't know it was going to be. We thought it was going to be a posh sort of...
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be a charity event.
Exactly.
Was there any charity involved?
There were some generous people.
Right. And were you impressed by anyone off the TV, if you know what I'm saying?
There's a few people that I wouldn't look at the same.
Okay.
That's all I can
say.
It's
very surprising, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah. Well, it is and it isn't. Now you know.
Your job is amazing.
I know.
Jane, do you love it?
Absolutely love it, yes. You know, they're all exciting in their own way.
So you go back and tell the wife that there's more than just a charity event. Although there was plenty of, like, giving and receiving, like there would be in a charity, situation.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Annoyingly for everyone, including myself, I'm off next week. So, James and Jane, are you okay for the week after next for the next story?
That actually works better for me because we're on a job next week. So
okay.
That's perfect.
James and Jane are back next week. And remember,
cheating doesn't take a day off.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
It's Scott, it's just me today, but Chris will be joining us for Bangers at 2:40. So, farmers, did you see your new show last night, which they're calling Farming Love Island? However, if you are hoping to see people have it off, like, in barns or on haystacks, then you won't, because it's not like Love Island in that way. It's actually a very nice, very heartwarming dating show. We should actually mention, because a lot of farmers listen to this show, it's the Big Young Farmers AGM, which is always amazing, in Blackpool this weekend, and I'm so gutted. I was supposed to be there, but I can't be there now, so soz. We should also mention the Essex Young Farmers, who on their last 20 miles of a 300-mile cycle from Essex to Blackpool for the AGM. And I think they're raising, money for a charity. So well done, everyone. So, yeah, the show is called Love in the Countryside, hosted by the fabulous Sarah Cox. And basically, it's, you see them go dating and that, but it's a really kind of sweet, heartwarming show. So one of the people that really caught everyone's attention last night was a guy called Ed, who's a young farmer. Good point, actually, as well, from Jamie, mowing lawns in Solihull. He says, correct me if I'm wrong, but every young farmer I've met seems to be at least 30. At what age do you become an old farmer? That is true. What is a cut-off point for young farmer? If anyone knows, let me know. Anyway, so Ed was on. What happens is that you get, like, boxes of letters from admirers who want to date you. And then from Ed's two boxes, he had to whittle it down, whittle his choice down to five ladies from different backgrounds to himself. This is the trailer for the show.
If you live and work out in the middle of nowhere, how on earth do you find true love?
My relationship status is eternally single.
I'm after, you know, something exciting, a bit of an adventure.
So I'm taking the bull by the horns and going on a mission to find eight rural romantics, the partner of their dreams.
You are quite worried in case you end up with a cousin.
If she tries to seduce him, then there might be trouble.
Okay, good. He did just say the cousin thing. Good. I never knew that. Loads of people are on saying the cut-off age is supposed to be 26 for young farmers. I never knew that. Like, so many of you are on. Anyway, here's why Ed got a lot of attention on social media last night. This is a great idea, you know, because obviously a lot of farmers listen to this show and you are spending a lot of time on your own and you're not really meeting people and you often live somewhere quite far out, not in a city, so I'm all for a bit of rural romance.
25-year-old Ed has been single since taking over the family farm 2 years ago.
I spend lots of my time with 450 ladies, but they've got four legs and an udder, and that's definitely not my type. The reason I haven't met anyone, I think, is because I've just been running around focused on the business, looking after the cows. I don't really know any other 25-year-olds with as much responsibility as I've got. Probably say I've been chipped in the deep end, and it's kind of just like, hey, good luck. It wasn't difficult to meet girls before I started working so much. I used to go out partying quite a lot. Since I've had more responsibility, I've gone out partying a lot less. I'm not looking for somebody to come round, feed the calves and you know, a typical farmer's wife. Somebody with ambition, their own drive, that's something that I'd find interesting and really appealing about somebody else.
Oof. And to Ed, we say...
Yes!
Scott Mills.
Yes, Lisa, who's one of the contestants on Love in the Countryside, which is an iPlayer, has been on, going, Scott Mills just been talking about us. Find out if I find love by watching the show. It's a good show. I really like it. Hosted by Sarah Cox, who is going to be on The Breakfast Show with Grimmie next week playing the Honesty Game, which will be amazing. That was Isaac Gracie. Jake's been on, who is a farmer, saying, why do we need to go on a dating show when you can just go to the Young Farmers AGM this weekend? Yeah, Jake, these people are looking for, like, long-term love and that. Isaac Gracie, who our listener on the phone really felt quite strongly about yesterday.
This song haunts me. Honestly, you play this song so much and it brings back such a bad memory of the library.
No. What has Isaac Gracie done to you?
A lot, really. I was sat in the library trying to finish my dissertation, listening to Radio 1, had what I thought was my headphones plugged in. My headphones were not plugged in. This song was blasting out in the silent zone of the library. For the whole song, everybody staring at me. Nobody bothered to come over and say, oh yeah, your music's playing out and stuff. This song's not exactly the happiest of songs either.
She just then went on to describe it as horrible. Thanks, Megan.
Scott Mills.
BBC.
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Chris Stark.
Hello, Scott Mills. You all right?
Yeah, you!
Yeah, you!
Where are you, please?
I'm just travelling to a place called Kirkcaldy is the next stop. I've been kind of on the move a lot today, but I'm in Scotland. I'm having lots of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, this is lovely.
Yeah. Are you having some Buckfast?
Peak Scottish.
Right.
I'm currently opening a can of...
Oh, what? Yeah. Have
Scottish,
a deep fried
orange drink.
Have a deep fried Mars bar while you're at it. Maybe wear a kilt and have some expensive drinks. In fact, did you have some more expensive drinks last night? Because you're looking rough on your Insta stories.
What do you mean I'm looking rough?
Well, someone just pointed that out earlier.
What, that I look rough?
Yeah.
No, that's just me.
Oh, sorry. Did you have a few more expensive drinks than they used to be last night?
No, apparently it was slightly more expensive, but it was, no, I didn't. I only had a couple after the game and obviously a couple during the game.
Sure. And why did you text Grimmie? Because everyone was talking about it this morning on Breakfast Show.
what text about Champions League, right?
Yeah.
Well, because I heard, well, in fact, Grimmy told me that he's trying to arrange a night out after the Saturday of Big Weekend. So I said, that's all well and good, but can we factor in the football for that Saturday?
Okay.
I also said the other mistake I made. I also text our boss.
What?
And I this was a bad one, actually. I shouldn't have done it.
Oh, hon.
Text our boss, the one that begins with A, text him saying, can we ensure that
idiot.
The Champions League is being shown at Big Weekend?
Did you get a reply?
Yeah, I did. And it wasn't like a laughing one. It was, I've got a few other things on my list at the moment, Chris. I'll look into it. Yeah, wasn't great.
No, not great. Don't do that again. Anyway, let's meet Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Where are you? What are you doing at the moment?
I'm on my way home. Well, I've pulled over, but I am on my way home from work.
Okay, what do you do?
I'm a photographer. I photograph million-pound houses.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. That's a great job.
Yeah, it is a good job. Although, I haven't done your house yet. So I'm waiting on that order.
Yeah, okay, well, we can arrange it. Not £1 million.
okay.
Echo Falls.
It is, though.
Is it, though?
It is, though.
All right, though. Right, so, Beth, what's the coolest house you've seen recently and what was in it?
I do loads. I've done one which was, they bought it and for about $1.5 million and then spent about $1.5 million on it.
Oh my word.
And honestly, they've done the most amazing job of it. But everything was bespoke. And yeah, it just makes me want to cry because I know I'm probably never going to be able to afford it.
Were there fish tanks in the armchairs of the sofas like I saw on MTV Cribs once with Missy Elliott?
I haven't done that yet. But
it was like fish tanks in the arms of the seats. Someone's doing well.
The last house I was at did have a fish tank in the wall, which was a little bit
hoo. Well, I quite like it. All right, here's what I've got for you today on Bangers, Beth.
Yeah, that's a bit of a tune.
I've not heard this for so long.
Bit of a
forgotten Beyonce banger. Naughty Girl. Oh, that didn't go well. Okay, Chris, what you got?
That's a bit too sexy for me, that song. So I've gone for a different banger. I've gone for this.
What is it?
This is a tune. This is T.I. Rihanna, Live Your Life.
Oh, no.
Okay, Beth.
Making it difficult.
Right.
Oh, God. You're making it difficult. I reckon I'm going to have to go for the old one. I'm going to have to go for Scott.
Yes! I really wanted this to be played. Sorry, Chris.
Rubbish.
One. BT Rose and Camille, aka Birthday Girls, aka the best people to throw a house party on a podcast.
Birthday Girls House Party. Woo!
It's not just a random house party.
Yeah. We've thought about it. We've done some minimal preparation for this.
Yeah. Are we inviting people?
We're having guests.
Not just anyone.
It's James Acaster.
It's James Acaster.
He's outside. I'm going to go get him now.
Hello, Camille. How are you?
Do you want some water?
What?
No.
All you need to do is search Kench, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Kench.
You had me at Kench.
One.
I totally forgot how saucy that is. Music from Beyonce. Naughty Girl. Well, I enjoyed it. Loads of you are saying robbery. I don't think so. T.I. and Rihanna is always on bangers. I'm happy with that decision.
Scott Mills.
Alice Levine, good afternoon.
Oh, hello there.
I haven't seen you in time.
It's been a very good long while.
She's everywhere. She's here. She's there. Radio, TV, podcasts, online. You can't escape her.
Even if you wanted to, which I'm sure you do.
I don't. I've just got something to run by you. A while back on the show, we were talking about sliding into celebrity DMs. Do you check your public folder on Instagram, Alice?
Oh, I can't say that I do.
You don't check the Muggles folder.
Is there good stuff in there?
Oh, there's so much good stuff. You should go through it on your show at the weekend.
OK, that's a good idea. Let me just have a look now.
On the Weekend Breakfast Show.
I'll be honest, I don't even know how to... Producer Mark, you'll have to show me.
Yeah. I bet you've got thousands.
Yeah, there's all these requests.
Right. How many?
99.
Right, no, that's the max amount that it'll show you. There's loads more. I'm asking you all sorts.
Do you think I've missed some important stuff?
Probably, yeah. Probably some work.
Do you think?
Some invitations to be your friend.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
In fact, here we go.
Yeah, you got them?
Okay.
Just skim through some of those.
So if I read it, am I suddenly in a chat with them? No.
No. You're just reading it. Don't have to reply. You can do.
Oh, this one's a poem.
Right.
Just to kiss those lips, just to hold your hand, I would walk through hell just to be your man. That angelic form, your eyes would make me lost.
No way.
I would give all for you, no matter what the cost.
Right, and you've only just discovered this. That's
there's loads. There's loads of poems from this guy.
That's just from going through now.
Oh, that's nice.
So I think you definitely need to spend some time this afternoon going through that that folder, because there's a lot of requests in there, probably to be your friend.
Yeah, that's a whole rabbit hole to go down, isn't it?
Probably some work in there.
I doubt it, but yeah, you can hope.
In fact, someone has sent me an email with a screenshot of an Instagram DM that they've sent you.
Oh, really?
And I'd like to go through that with you after this.
Okay. Scott
Mills. So we were just talking about Instagram DMs. Before now, until like a few minutes ago, Alice has never checked hers. And it's going to open up a whole new world to you.
I mean, people have sent me messages, but they must be people I follow then, right?
No.
They're the ones that I receive.
No, anyone. In the request folder, anyone can send you anything. Anyway, when we were talking about those DMs and sliding into them, someone actually sent me a DM that they've sent to you, which obviously you've not seen because you've not checked them on your phone ever.
Sorry about that.
I would like to read this to you now. And this is just a taster of what to expect when you go through them later, all right?
I hope it wasn't pressing, like they needed a kidney or something.
No, this is really sweet. Listen. Dear Alice, first of all, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Stuart Fenwick, and I'm 28 years old from Edinburgh.
I think this is going to be a banking scam.
I hope you find the time to read this and enjoy it. If I could just have your long card number.
Your mother's maiden name.
The purpose of me contacting you is essentially down to my current project of 30 things to do before I'm 30, one of which is to meet Alice Levine.
Oh, wow, he's using a whole one-up on that.
I feel like a good place to start is why this is so.
This is taking... The language has gone a bit unusual.
I first discovered your existence vocally.
Oh, God. What does that mean?
I first discovered your existence vocally on Radio 1. I'm a big fan of the Scott Mills through to the Greg James stretch in the afternoon. And you are a regular guest on features such as Real or No Real, Rage Against the Answer Machine and other such frivolities.
Right, yeah, that's basically the CV there, yeah.
As a regular listener who is also featured on Bangers and Pun Pong...
Oh, I like that I'm getting his CV now as well.
Right. I can already tell you, we'd have much to discuss.
Oh, what, quite the back catalogue for us both.
From this initial vocal introduction over the airwaves...
Stop saying vocal.
It's not me, it's him. From this initial vocal introduction over the airwaves...
It wasn't an introduction.
Not really.
I just was on the radio.
You were just there. I realised that you had an incredible sense of humour.
Oh, he's got good taste. OK, fair enough.
With a wonderful armour of stupidity to it. From there...
With one hand he giveth, and with the other he taketh away.
From there, I realised you would be a terrific friend to perhaps one day have. Running out of ideas to advertise myself, I've decided to attach my CV.
Oh, I was joking. Is it really?
And two photographs. One work shot and one casual.
One smart casual.
To summarise, if there is any availability you have to socialise in any way, please do let me know.
Well, as you know, Scott, I don't socialise in any way.
You don't?
So Stuart's got me wrong there.
We've both tried.
It's been 6 years and we've never gone for dinner. We've
so
He's not even managed a snack on the go.
Good luck with that, Stuart. If there is any availability you have to socialise in any way, really not, please do let me know, as it would help me work towards my goals listed in my 30 things to do before I'm 30, as well as the possibility, brackets, probability,
what?
Of true love blossoming.
Oh, my!
Yours sincerely, Stuart Fenwick.
So Stuart's made the leap from just wanting to be pals to... I thought it was very much friend zone till the last few lines.
Well, wait there, Alice, because there is a little bit more next.
Scott Mills.
So Alice Levine is with us, and I'm reading her a message from a big, big fan that slipped into her DMs via the Muggles folder, which Alice didn't even know existed on Instagram. Stuart claims to have met Alice vocally. He thinks they can be friends, and maybe, just maybe, they could be lovers. Alice, how did you feel about Stuart's message?
Well, it's very thorough, isn't it?
Actually, tell him yourself. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Scott.
Oh,
you?
God!
You right?
Yeah, I'm good. It's lovely to hear your voice, Alice. How are you?
It's lovely to meet you vocally, Stuart.
it's been a long time coming.
Are you joking?
I'd like to think of it about 70-30 serious... sarcastic.
Sure. Okay. That's a good ratio.
That's fine, actually. Yeah.
Scott, you are a slippery little toad. Sorry, Stuart. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm really good, thanks, Alice. How's your day treating you?
Yes, well, this is quite the adrenaline rush.
Now, can I ask you, Stuart, now that you've been vocally introduced to Alice, does this count as the tick off the bucket list of things to do before you're 30, even though it's just on the phone?
I don't know. I'd like to get a few opinions on that, to be honest. I've been trying to capture photos of a lot of the things that are on the list.
The long lens?
just any sort of selfie, I think, would be fine. But I guess it's up to your guys' opinion if you think this counts as meeting Alice or not.
I think so.
I think we're having a lovely chat.
A lovely vocal introduction, you mean?
Yeah, it's just a kind of... It's one of the better vocal introductions I've had, actually, in recent times.
Yeah, I'm looking back on it now and I'm not really sure why I picked the words that I did. It seems a little bit strange.
But it's quite formal in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. And then by the end, I don't know what was going on by the end, to be honest.
But it's good because if I'd mistaken you for being formal, I had the smart casual picture, so it's fine.
Yeah, two shots.
Yeah, I don't even know what photos I sent, but smart casual kind of sums me up.
Don't try and pretend now, Stuart. Don't even know which pictures I sent. Come on.
You're right, you know, I had them in my folder.
It's a long email, but I mean, you're a big fan. You're a massive fan of Alice Levine.
Yeah, no, I, as you can tell by the CV I sent in about bangers and pom-pom, etc. I'm a big fan of Radio 1, and I think Alice Levine kind of embodies that, I would say.
Scott would disagree, because he claims I'm never here.
I've just seen that you've sent in your work website, your Facebook, your Twitter, Instagram and Snapchat. So thanks for all of those.
It's fine. It's a 21st century, you know.
I will be needing your LinkedIn, Stuart, actually.
That can be arranged, yeah, no problem.
Stuart, good to talk to you. Alice, I think this counts as him having met you. So.
Yeah, I would feel terrible if he'd only got 29 out of 30 because of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually just picked one of the other things off the list last night, so can I pick another one off tonight?
Okay, what was the other one?
Oh, yeah, a triathlon.
Oh, sure.
I'm up there with a triathlon.
Some are definitely different from others.
Right. Anything else on the list that you want to talk to us about?
No, there's a few of them. Climbing Ben Nevis and things like that were fairly normal. Riding a horse.
Triathlon, riding a horse, Ben Nevis, Alice Levine.
It's a very interesting list.
Good to speak to you, Stuart.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Right. Nice to meet you.
Go and tick it off the list.
Scott Mills.
Me and Chris are back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.